I'm not sure how much I can say.
But I think I'm going to tell you about the film today.
Today I will be teaching you about the Star Wars film. Okay, Mark, if you want to tweet it out once I've launched the show, which is exactly starting in a 3 and a 2 and in a 1 and a... Welcome back. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. I am your host, Riley Blanton. So glad that you've decided to join us. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Please delete as appropriate. I'm so glad you've joined us. Man, do we have a great episode lined up for you tonight. At least just tonight as we record it. We've gone over this. We know what the deal is. It's podcasting, everybody. It's a Star Wars radio show, but it's you download it and you listen to it whenever you want. It's pretty awesome. With me, as always, is my good friend and yours, co-host of the Star Wars Report, all-around cool guy, a long line of action figures, particularly the Revenge of the Sith series, I see lined up on amazing shelves behind him. It's Mark Herleman.
This is true. There is a lot of there's more Attack of the Clones than anything else.
That's
I have
true.
The whole Attack of the Clones line, in fact.
Well, the Revenge of the Sith stuff caught my eye because that's special to me, because the first time I remember going in Walmarts and taking notice of like the early days as I started really becoming interested in that galaxy far, far away, I remember distinctly that packaging, that the lava Vader overlooking the, you know, Vader overlooking the lava. And it's funny because people always have nostalgia for the old square vintage card backs, and I think that those things are atrociously ugly. There, I said it. I mean, certainly, but...
Keep moving. The sniper rifles will get you if you hold still.
The red dots immediately appear on my chest. No, which is, again, my own opinion, and this because I don't have the nostalgia factor. And then, of course, I'm sure that some people think that weird bubble wrapping on the Vader, and the Vader looks all off, and the Revenge of the Sith stuff. Hey, I understand. That's the thing about Star Wars fandom, is that we each have our own personal level of nostalgia. Something I learned well when I recorded... my Star Wars story. I mentioned it a few weeks ago with one Scott Rifen. And the dude has a million of these things recorded. I have no idea when it's going to come out. It's going to be a long time, but it's been a long day, so to speak. Without you, my friend, we were playing some awesome pre-show music. And then also to peel back the curtain just a little bit, not too much, just a little bit. So we're testing a brand new setup. Partially courteous of our patrons over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We'll get to that in a second. But no, I started out setting up two separate computers. So Mark is on a dedicated Skype machine. Granted, it's an old desktop tower that I've obtained, but it's a start. It may be an old 2004, 2005 Windows XP tower that is humming down there next to me. Fortunately, I don't think it's coming through on the microphone. But hey, it's working out as a nice dedicated Skype machine, and that means it runs more smoothly, and I can actually see Mark's beautifully trimmed haircut. You're looking snazzy, man. It looks fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
But hey, man, it's been a while since we've had a chance to just kind of sit here, just you and me, and talk the wars. There's tons of news. But
holy
cow. I want to say, because the last thing we did was the big Patreon recording day.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff since that came out.
I know. And like I say, a huge, huge thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. Mark, I have to say, because I was so buried in being terrified that something was going to go terribly wrong, I was doing so much of that. And first of all, if you haven't listened to the last two episodes of Star Wars Report, we did a big show with a lot of guests on your favorite A New Hope moments, and then we rang in the launch of our Patreon with our full commentary for Star Wars A New Hope with, speaking of Scott Rifen and Amy Ratcliffe. If you have not listened to it, go back into the archives, listen to last week's episode. It's our full commentary for A New Hope, and it's been a long time coming, but I'm so glad that we finally got to have it. But Mark, what was your experience that day? I have to ask because I was just kind of buried in trying to make sure nothing fell through.
You know, I still haven't officially got to watch the Blu-ray. I mean, we were doing it with the Blu-ray, but I was kind of, you know, in the chat catching up in a couple spots because I was still watching the old DVD version. It's on my list of things. I keep hoping someone's going to surprise me for a birthday or Christmas time and bam, hey, the Saga on Blu-ray. But no, nobody's figured that blatant of errors, you know, for my collection, like not having that is, it's almost, you know, heretical. The hypocrisy of me. You don't know the Blu-ray? Well, no, it's not out of protest. I could say that. I only want this version. Yeah, that's it. No extra walls for me.
I love your little
No, that's not
hook.
The case. I'm just broke.
you are a Star Wars purist by bank account. That's what you are.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah, so it was weird because like you know, Nathan talks all the time about the sound quality of the Blu-rays and stuff, sure. You know, and Amy was talking about the picture quality in a couple scenes. It was picking out things that I would have never seen before. Yeah. And I'm just like, I gotta get me these Blu-rays, man. Like, this is just, I'm working on a new TV come November time for Black Friday. You know, I'm like, I've got a goal in mind. So maybe come Christmas, I'll have something to watch it with.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's Black Friday and then there's Craigslist after Black Friday. And that might be next bet, man. But that's so true. The Blu-ray is such a great experience for the film. And man, some of those one or two of the changes really do jump out at me. I have to admit, the two that really just jump out to me in A New Hope were the rocks that hide R2. Just because that is very very obviously it's not even the fact that R2's hiding. It's just poorly done. I don't mind the change. It's just the change is weird and not very high quality. It looks very last minute.
Kind of pointless. He was already hiding pretty well, and then the next scene, you can see where he's hiding from by Luke and them, at least on the old one.
Weird,
so it's like,
I mean, it's a very Lukasian thing to change. It's like, it's not hiding enough. And you know, like, whatever. It doesn't make a difference. I mean, it's the same scene. He's still, and this is the thing, is that people go off on how it's dumb and it ruins the movie. That's not true at all. It's basically just, it's the same scene. It's just kind of a weird, unnecessary one. Unnecessary change doesn't necessarily mean bad change.
You gotta love us fans, though. I mean, we react to everything so, you know, in the now is always the funnest place to be in fandom because the reactions are always high, low, fiery, hot, ice cold. You know, one that I know you want to talk about it on the news, but it kind of leads into something I wanted to talk about is Star Wars number 6 recently came out where we find out that Han Solo's married, you know, to Asana Solo. And we don't know anything really about where this is going. It was just one panel at the end of a comic of a single trade issue at this point. So, you know, the fandom is just blowing up. Some love it, some hate it. And
Mark, you posted this up on our Facebook page and it just blew up. Everyone has a thing to say. And I'm not reading Star Wars. I may have to. I started the first issue and it just didn't really capture my imagination. So, same thing with the Leia comic. The only one I'm keeping up with, and I think I'm already an issue or two behind, is the Vader comic. But
ties directly to this week's Vader and the Star Wars number 6. Uh-huh. There are scenes where it is literally in one panel. In the Vader one, you're from Vader's point of view, and in the Star Wars one, you're from Boba Fett's point of view. Yeah. But it is exactly the same scene playing out. You know, I'm following the singles, but I'm waiting to get them in trade, which is definitely for me the hardest part. But I think it's going to be the most enjoyable part because I'm not caught up in that moment of, you know, oh my gosh, what are they doing? Because I'm not invested in the story right now. I'm reading them. And then Nathan, when he gets me the digital copies, I'm reading them then more thoroughly and getting an idea for it. But by then it's been out for a couple of weeks. The next issue's already out. So when me and him sit down and record trades and stuff, when we sit down and I'm reading it all at once, which is usually the first time I've done it, usually I've only read it one issue a couple weeks apart, another issue a couple weeks apart. So it's a total different read. It's a total different experience and it's a total different enjoyment. So yeah, I mean, I think if you grab them and read them in the trades, I think you're going to get a kick out of them. But I also think you're going to have more idea of what they're going to be doing with this character. Yeah. There are a lot of people that are like, oh, we've jumped the shark. It's like, well, it's a new background. I mean, you know, I mean, think about Firefly. I mean, you know, Malcolm Reynolds got married by draping his arm with a girl, putting a blanket over it and spinning 3 times. I mean, you know, Han could easily do something stupid like that.
See, and that seems, I'm sure that's the direction it'll go. I don't think this is a long-term relationship of some kind that we didn't know about. But, you know, you never know. It is proof that just makes a big difference as to whether or not, you know, you know, you're right. Everyone does love to immediately have a giant reaction and something to say, which, and honestly, you know, the way they did the comic panels, that's what it's meant to do. It's like a big giant tease, and we'll see where it goes. But yeah, it's that, you know, that change. And then I guess the other change of A New Hope that I thought of was, this is just the Obi-Wan yell. Let's all agree that the Obi-Wan, that's weird. But anyway, speaking of the Patreon launch day, huge thank you to our patrons who are supporting the show financially through patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Basically, it was amazing. We had a great launch day. So many of you guys have jumped in to support us. Just like a huge thank to some of our supporters in here. I wanted to start doing shout outs. We'll do kind of featured ones of the week soon as well. But, you know, we had a longtime friend of the show, Bruce Gibson, Joseph Devano, Scott Rifen, of course, Matthew Bogard, and Stuffy D, and Neil Lowry, and Anthony, and Eric Robertson, all these amazing patrons who've jumped in and supported the show financially. It means a whole lot, because I always have loved doing the show, but it's hard to make it the priority I would like to, and give it the time investment and financial investment to upgrade equipment and stuff like that to really make it the best show we possibly can. And you guys who are supporting us through Patreon are helping us do so. So basically what it is, and this episode, hey, brought to you by patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Is basically, it's super easy. If you go to that link, all you have to do is take a look. And we have like a $2 level, $5 level, $15 level, and other levels as well, where we give things like, I don't know, bonus audio. How about that? Last month, which I just did it without a warning, Mark. I just sent it out to everybody. I just sent the entire audio of Sam Witwer's panel at Dragon Con last year, none of which ever surfaced on the air. So, if you're a Patreon, you just got that. So we do things like that every month. I'll be sending out bonus audio, convention coverage, that sort of thing that we may not have full time to, or as a thank you to the patrons. And that, if you want to get in on that kind of bonus content, or get a free t-shirt, or get video behind the scenes stuff, that's what you wanted to go do. Head over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport or StarWarsReport.com/Patreon, because I kept messing it up last time. And that's what I did. So yeah, we really do appreciate your support. And if you enjoy the Star Wars Report and want to see more of it and want to see it get better, that's the way to do it. Mark, you know what? I think it's time for the news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
Daisy Ridley. Let's talk about Daisy Ridley for just a few minutes here.
Oh, Daisy. You're a Daisy if you do.
Daisy Ridley, future wife of one Carl Leclerc, at least he'd like to think so, was doing the press circuits in Japan. Now, this is a solid week or two old, but I've had it in the show notes for a while, and I wanted to bring it up with you, Mark, because... You know, there have been a lot of leaks from inside. Let's be honest. There have been a whole lot of leaks inside the...
A lot of loose Abrams. Lips sinking starships.
Starships are sinking. Yes, that's a good way to put it. That old sign that they have put up... didn't
the Impervious
work.
Is down!
Which is a big feature of our next story. But yeah, so they're making the press circuits, and they're in Japan. You see Daisy Ridley and Kathleen Kennedy sitting next to each other. At the frame I have paused, just Kathleen Kennedy just trying really hard not to make a really sour face. And I'll tell you what, the way I heard about this story was on the ground at Star Wars Weekends 2 weeks ago. I was talking to, was it 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I was talking to one Trisha Barr of the Fangirl blog, an official Star Wars author. Really cool individual who I really like hanging around. She was really nice that day. But anyway, she was introducing the story here, and she told me, "Did you see this thing about Daisy Ridley spilling the beans on who her lineage is?" And I was like, "No, do tell." And she proceeded to tell me about this exchange when asked about the lineage of her character. Daisy Ridley says this, and it's pretty fascinating to hear.
I'm not sure how much I can say. I guess because I've said that I'm solitary, that's how I begin. that is probably a big clue as to what what it is.
All right.
There's rumors.
All right. Hear that awkward laugh. Hear that awkward laugh. That beautiful, gorgeous, awkward laugh of Kathleen Kennedy. And she's just like, she's trying to like, don't, that's it. And she realized, and the other great part about this is not just Kathleen Kennedy's amazingly awkward laugh. In fact, you know what? We'll have to take a listen to that again in a moment. But there's not just that, but listen to this.
You know, there's rumors.
Oh, wait, here we go.
what it is.
You hear that hesitation from Daisy Ridley? She's like, this character is rather solitary. That might be a clue as to who it is. And she's like slowing down at the end there. So, I mean, it's certainly
that moment when you realize you put your foot into it and your boss is sitting right next to you.
I was going to say, it's not like the president of Lucasfilm is sitting right next to you while you're spilling
the
beans.
It's not like the new George Lucas reincarnated is giving you the death glare.
See, this is something that George Lucas would actually just say himself.
He's like, you're fired.
you're fired. So... So, Daisy Ridley, a very solitary character in that galaxy far, far away. Who knows? Maybe we're not reading anything into it. Could be, you know, something like that.
Well, in light of Star Wars 6, I mean, we could be totally looking at this wrong. Maybe it's Finn Solo.
There you go.
I mean, you know, or there's a whole new twist on, you got a lot of guts showing up here after what you pulled, if Han's new wife happens to be Lando's sister. There's so many different angles that it's great, but I think most fans out there have been thinking that this is a Solo or Skywalker character from the start. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Well, and the other thing is that, well, and I'll go ahead and talk about it here. Making Star Wars last week has a compiled synopsis. Haha, said it right. I did not do that in the pre-show. A compiled synopsis of The Force Awakens. Now, Mark, I have not read it.
Yeah, I've kind of avoided it like the plague for the most part. The dangerous thing here is like you open it up and you're like, oh, hey, this looks nice. What follows below is an edited synopsis Darth Lightly Bruce did based on rumors from the site. And you're like, oh, yeah, yep, this sounds cool. And you start following along and you're like,
it.
Wait a minute, we're getting into spoiler territory
don't
here. Because that's the thing, man. You don't know when a rumor becomes a spoiler.
Well, and the thing is that remember mere weeks ago, earlier this year, when I proclaimed proudly to the world how I was post-spoiler Riley. I was embracing the spoilers and I was going to read all the rumors. And in the last few weeks, since the Vanity Fair cover came out, I just haven't been able.
I you know what this is? This is the Bobby Roberts effect. When you're around somebody that has embraced the spoilers, you're like, yeah, go ahead, dude, spoil me. Because you know they're going to give you the good spoilers. You know, they're not going to give you all the sift through kind of stuff. They're going to go for the ones that are probably closest to true. You know, they're like, hey, man, you know, me and Nathan were talking about this on Beyond the Films. Like, we spend a lot of time on the stuff we hate and not so much time on the stuff we love. Why? Because we want you to enjoy this stuff and we want you to avoid the other stuff. It's the opposite here. It's like with the rumors, you're like, you want to get them involved. You want them to, you know, here's a juicy rumor, man. This will get you want more. It's like crack deal. Dealers, man, with information.
You did just kind of characterize Bobby Roberts as a crack dealer in the best of ways, I'm sure. Of course, like, hey, man, just check out the spoilers, man.
It's got lightsabers with three little blades, dude. Come on, you can't pass this up.
Daisy Ridley's really solitary character, man.
yeah, and that's how he got Carl right there. Daisy Ridley, man. Enough said.
Exactly. But the thing is that I've had an evolution that I can't, like I say, since the Vanity Fair stuff has been coming out, I kind of feel comfortable knowing some spoilers, but I don't really want to, I'm leaning against, and this is just going to be me going back and forth and back and forth for the next 6 months. Just be prepared, guys. It's just literally going to be me sitting here trying to figure out, yeah, no, I'm going to do maybe not the spoilers. So I'm just going to be vacillating back and forth, completely undecided as to, you know, what I'm going to do about the whole spoiler thing. But right now, like with this synopsis, I don't think I'm going to read it. I'm going to stay clear of this for sure because, you know,
Yeah, the one or two that rise to the top. I mean, okay, like how we got the Supreme Leader Snoke. You know, we finally know what Andy Serkis is going to be. What is it? Inside, or no, not Inside Star Wars. It was Making Star Wars, in fact. Also,
yeah.
Jason Ward was the one talking about this when they showed it. It was in another magazine. We see him sitting with his motion capture and stuff. I think with that one, the one that really struck me the most is because I looked up the word immediately to see how long this had been out there. And then I find this registered brand Snoke e-cigarettes from Germany. I'm thinking, boy, they just scored out. Because everybody is like, put this in your pipe and Snoke it. And I'm just like, oh wow, that's kind of funny.
The puns came fast and furious.
Well, that's true. When we found out Palpatine was Sheev, everyone went nuts. Now we got Snoke. These guys must be coming from Slytherin.
Exactly. Well, it is funny because it's a weird, you know, it follows that weird oddball Star Wars naming convention. And I like it. I like the fact that it's something that when you first hear it, it sounds completely strange and doesn't make any sense. But the same thing that if you say Obi-Wan Kenobi to someone who's never heard that name, now that's a name I've not heard in a long time. You know, if someone hears the name Obi-Wan Kenobi, it's not going to be something that would sound normal. So, you know, there it is. And the other interesting thing about this piece, Mark, is that a previously unpublished photo of Andy Serkis sporting mocap gear for his for his portrayal. And actually, let me pull up the exact description. So, again, this is from further stuff from the Vanity Fair, that fallout, which has just kept going on and on. And this is released officially through StarWars.com. We get to see Andy Serkis as the, quote, Supreme Leader Snoke. Now, for the Supreme Leader, to use the title Supreme Leader doesn't necessarily give you the nicest of impressions. Because when you say Supreme Leader, you think about that stupid South North Korea movie that came out recently I totally blanked on all the comedians. It made him all the kinds of headlines and stuff. Would you say
The Interview with Seth Rogen?
Thank you.
And his
when
buddy.
Exactly. When you say Supreme Leader, you think of The Interview, and you see Andy Serkis there in a very menacing posture, with his it's sort of like he's sitting on the edge of his seat with his arms firmly planted, his hands firmly planted on his knees, looking very menacingly directly at the camera, with, of course, all of the little motion capture white dots. So we can assume he's playing some sort of alien. We just don't know what sort of alien. And I'm really excited, man. Ever since I heard that Andy Serkis was involved, that was probably one of the names I was most excited to hear when they first announced the Force Awakens. Because, yeah. I mean, obviously hearing the big three were back was great, but as far as the new characters go, I was wholly unfamiliar with most of the actors. And even not until recently, when I finally saw Ex Machina with Domhnall Gleeson and Oscar Isaac, two amazing performances that were, you know, just blew me away. So I could see why they were cast, but I didn't know when they were first cast. But boy, did I know who Andy Serkis was. And it's funny because we've just been rewatching. Bethany has, in fact, has been rewatching all the Lord of the Rings movies, and it just Andy Serkis's performance as Gollum, the man. If at some point he's not stepping on stage and receiving an honorary Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars, then I don't want to, Mark. I don't want to live in this world. I don't.
Nice.
Darn it, if this isn't a world that can recognize the artistic brilliance of one Andy Serkis, then I don't know what's wrong with it.
See, my first thought was, you know, what if Snoke was, like, say, Palpatine without a form? You know, thinking along the lines of Son of Dathomir, how Talzin had lost her body and was kind of like a nebulous form.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, like, you know, well, they've gone out of their way to be like, the Emperor's dead. I really don't think that one. But then I was thinking, okay, well, the alien angle, well, that would make sense, him wearing all the capture monitor stuff. And then I was like, you know, what kind of dark sider would an alien be? Like, how cool would that be to have, like, a really powered up dark side user that's an alien? Then I thought, you know, we don't know anything about the Sith. What if they decide to make him a Sith? like he's a Sith species or something, and they go that route again, and he's, you know, come out of hiding finally, like the last Sith of the original line or something. Because there is nothing on the background of the Sith in canon. You know, Legends, we've got all sorts of stuff. But yeah, I was in the same, you know, supreme leader, the worst of the worst kind of scenarios, and I always think Sith. So I'm like, you know, aside from him being a pretender, I would love to see him actually have some kind of, you know, something that grounds him into his evil, not something that he kind of adopted as his evil.
Yeah, no, I could see that. And that's the whole thing about this, probably the most nebulous aspect of the film, I think. And this is someone who's kind of quarter spoiled to half spoiled. I've read a lot. I've read a number of the spoilers, and there's a few key moments that I'm pretty sure about or are almost certainly going to happen. But the most nebulous to me, the most unknown aspect of The Force Awakens to me is the villainy. Who our main antagonists are going to be and how they'll fit together. So how is this Supreme Leader Snoke going to interact with Adam Driver's Kylo Ren, right? How's this? Mm-hmm. Because we know that Kylo Ren is a collector. The collector. Guardians of the Galaxy reference. Well, so he is the kind of the collector.
You, in the corner, fetch me that artifact.
And there
and Daisy Ridley, too.
There were a lot of rumors about this, but they're confirmed now, so it's not a spoiler, that, you know, Kylo Ren, he's cobbled together this weird-looking lightsaber that isn't exactly like anything you would have seen before. It is a very inelegant weapon from an evidently inelegant, uncivilized age. How about that?
Yeah. I think had he known about, like, say, the Inquisitor from Rebels, he would have gone with a different design. I mean, wires on the outside of your hilt, that's just one lightsaber blade away from being an explosive in your hand.
And that's it. One has to assume he just doesn't know how to make a lightsaber well. He's sort of like me doing car repairs right before we started recording as I was cleaning out my AC unit, finding YouTube videos on how to prevent condensation.
Me when I'm setting up to record a live interview. Yeah. Why isn't it working?
Exactly.
Come on. Exactly. Where's Whistler?
Exactly. But that's the thing. So I know nothing about this Supreme Leader Snoke.
You know nothing, Supreme Leader Snoke.
You know nothing, Jon Snoke. Okay, let's see. I'm just entertaining myself. Yeah, so there's that.
Well, speaking of not knowing anything, a story that I wanted to talk about before I have to bail.
Sure.
It's the generation gap. Club Jade put it out there today. It was, how did they word it? Inside the Star Wars generation gap, why we still care about Mara Jade. And I thought, you know, when I started reading this, I thought it was brilliant. You know, a dunk of Club Jade writes about how at the time when they got into fandom and stuff, Mara Jade was the Ahsoka Tano of a new generation of fans. I mean, it's a great article, a nice long article, but it brilliantly illustrates the likenesses of the two characters, the reactions of the fans and things like that. You know, I as I've talked with you on past incarnations of this show and other shows and stuff, we've talked about, you know, the different eras of fandom and how each fan comes into a new project and that becomes their back in the day and stuff. And it was just a really interesting article to have Dunk go back like that and think about, you know, how it was like when she got involved and all those things.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's an interesting – I'm so glad you highlighted that piece, and we will have it in the show notes at StarWarsReport.com where you can find the links there and how to subscribe to the show. Mr. Herleman, I hear that you have to bug out in a moment. So I don't want to keep you too long. So I will let you go. It is date night for Mark. So Mark,
it is.
You have absolutely fantastic.
That's why I have to bail, is because the daycare is waiting for kids to arrive, mm-hmm. or the shop shuts down.
Yes, exactly. And we took so long to set up. That was a glorious moment. And the pre-show was like, you guys haven't started yet. I was like, I promise I'd get you out on time. And by my clock, it is 8:59 Eastern, which is 1 minute shy of when you need to bug out. So, sir, jump up from your microphone, salute the audience, and everybody follow at IllogicalRogue2 on Twitter. We will see you next week, Mark.
That's right. Take care, everyone. May the Force be with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Guess what? The party starts now. It's Riley going solo. Guys, we're going to be right back with you in just a moment.
You you're listening to the Star Wars Report. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
There it is. Folks, we got a little bit of feedback for you before we close off the episode proper. And then there's been some breaking news, and I know some folks are in the chat. If you guys want to send a few questions during the feedback segment, by all means, do so. But otherwise, let me get to this this email. It comes from James Dean. You got that James Dean daydream look in your eyes. All right. Couldn't help it. Taylor Swift, everybody. James Dean says, "Hi, guys. Great podcast. I listen weekly here in Newbury, United Kingdom. My question is to you, do you think we will ever find out who or what made Shmi Skywalker pregnant in the future films? Palpatine mentions that Darth Plagueis could create life in episode 3. So was it a Sith Lord, maybe a very powerful Jedi, or just the Force itself?" That's the weird thing. James, thanks for the email. This is always kind of a big crux of the whole, I don't know, Mark. This is the crux of The Phantom Menace, because that's a huge, huge plot of the film. And one funny thing about The Phantom Menace, if you ever go back and watch the movie, you'll notice that of the Tatooine sequence, Qui-Gon's and Shmi's interaction is a huge, huge, huge part of that middle act of the film in terms of just sheer amounts of dialogue. And there's the one famous conversation where she says there was no father, and Qui-Gon seems to believe, and he's the one, you know, if we've learned anything from the world of Star Wars, maybe should have listened to Qui-Gon Jinn. That's a good general life lesson, folks. Listen to Qui-Gon Jinn, because you usually won't go wrong, and if you don't, maybe your entire galactic government will fall into tyranny. So yeah, there you go. If Qui-Gon Jinn were only with us. But yeah, his conversations with Shmi Skywalker, are what kind of established the idea that Anakin Skywalker was created by the Force. And here's the thing about Star Wars, is there are always various religious and cultural inferences that identify with, oh, well, that must be an allegory for like an immaculate birth, or, oh, that must be an allegory for Catholicism or Christianity or Islam or something. But I usually view Star Wars in a fairly narrow, in-universe way. Because Lucas has said repeatedly that it's never supposed to be an allegory of any one religion. He pulls in multiple mythological aspects of many religions. And so I think the birth of Anakin Skywalker is a central part of that. But here's the twist. As you bring up, James.
Oh, I dropped my pen.
There we go. As you mentioned, James, is that Palpatine says that Darth Plagueis could create life. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want to, because that is seen as so good for reference, because of the tone that's used. I think there's a very strong case to make that sequence in episode 3, where it's revealed that, you know, Plagueis could create life. That sequence, I think, has a very pointed message in it. I don't think it's overt. I think it can be a little subtle in some ways. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause the recorder for a moment and be right back with you guys once I pull up the audio. All right, and we are unpaused, and I have pulled up said clip from Revenge of the Sith. Let's take a listen, because this is significant. Listen to the way that Ian McDiarmid delivers the line when he talks about Plagueis creating life. So let's take a quick listen right here.
Do you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
No.
I thought not. It's not a story the Jedi would tell you. It's a Sith legend. Darth Plagueis was a dark lord of the Sith, so powerful and so wise, he could use the Force to influence the midichlorians to create life. He had such...
So, before we continue, to create life, and as he says the line, to create life, he has that beautiful hesitation. And even in the subtitles, even with the subtitles, they have a dot, dot, dot for that pause. And as he has that pause, he turns and looks very intentionally at Anakin right in that moment. Now, one of the things I love about Star Wars is it is a very layered mythology. There is a surface accessibility that the films have that they're pretty much universal. Everyone enjoys them. But the mythology behind them can be fascinating and equally interesting. And the digger you deep, the more layers you will find that you can peel back. And I think this is one of those layers. I think, and this is just my opinion, this is my interpretation as a Star Wars fan, that when he says to create life, I think that intentional look at Anakin could explain a lot, because we don't know what that conversation would be like. Because one of the first things you would want to know if you were a young slave in the harsh environment of Tatooine, serving tough masters like Gardula the Hutt and Watto, if you're stuck in that wretched life, the only thing you have to cling on to is your mother, and you have no dad, and you would wonder, you know, do I have a dad? Did I just come out of nowhere? And the answer evidently was yes. And so I think that this implication, and I remember even thinking this when I first saw the movie, first saw Revenge of the Sith, oh man, that must mean, you know, that must mean that Anakin was created by the dark side, by a Sith Lord who saw his ultimate fate as, you know, destroying the galaxy. And I think that's really profound, and it makes Anakin's fall all that much more profound. Because think about it. If Anakin is a creation of evil, but there's still something that deep inside him that can be redeemed, and it's not the Jedi, it's his family, it's his son that redeems him, despite the fact that he was created to destroy the universe, basically, to bring darkness. It was said that you would bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness. And while he did swing that direction, he eventually did come back. He eventually did come at the pleading of a dying son. And that's why I think this is just one more example. Guys, I try not to get on the soapbox too often, because we're in an era of Star Wars where it's time to welcome everyone, right? If you didn't like the prequels, it's okay. Come back into the fold. It's like my good friend Justin Robert Young, who we got to hang out with at Celebration, and Brian Brushwood, Andrew Main. We've told the story about going through that Force Awakens exhibit. None of those guys like the prequels at all. In fact, they genuinely hate them and think that they are objectively horrible films, which is okay. There's a lot wrong with it. But this is a great example of how the prequels, for all their flaws, lend an amazing perspective on the original trilogy in a way that most people don't recognize, unless you listen to a Star Wars podcast and you want to hear a 24-year-old, child of the 90s/2000s wax on about his thoughts of the films that he grew up watching first. Anyway, if you want to hear a lot more of that kind of thing, stay tuned to my Star Wars story. That'll be coming out soon. But let's take one. I want to finish out this scene just because this is such a great pivotal moment.
To knowledge of the dark side, he could even keep the ones he cared about from dying.
And that's the second time that he kind of has a slow, intentional look at Anakin. And this time Anakin looks back at him because he's referencing Padme, because... Let's not kid ourselves. Palpatine knows Anakin's deep, dark secret, and he knows how to pull those puppet strings. So it was a short email, but we went on very long about it, and I really do appreciate the fact that James Dean emailed in. That's amazing. Not that James Dean, but James Dean from the UK. James from the UK, we do appreciate it. Hey, look! Hey, this just broke like an hour ago. How about that? On Making Star Wars, new C-3PO design found on Mexican soda can. And there it is in all of its glory. You see C-3PO BB-8 and R2-D2 hanging out there. And, I mean, is this a spoiler? It's not a spoiler. All right, slight spoiler alert for what C-3PO freaking looks like in The Force Awakens. All right, you jump out. Hit the stop button. Stop listening. All right, still there? Okay, all right, good. We're all together. Actually, Mark from Jedi News, not the other Mark with the C from Jedi News, at SW Zach. He just tweeted this out, and it looks pretty interesting. And you know what C-3PO's left arm is? It's definitely very dark rust red. I like it. I like to see a little bit of difference, a little bit of a mix up in the design. That's always cool to see. So anyway, guess what, guys? I'm going to have to, sadly, it's about that time. About that time. Folks, guess what? That's gonna put the reps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. I don't know why I rolled an R where there's no R at the end of wars. Wars. It's hard to do. Guys, that ends this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you so much for tuning in. Guess what? Stick around after the credits. I'm going to play my absolute favorite audio clip from the recently released Kevin Kiner Star Wars Rebels soundtrack. He just put out the entire Star Wars Rebels soundtrack, like I say, on his website, like he did with the Clone Wars. And boy, howdy, am I excited to have it. And there's some amazing tracks that you should definitely hang out after the credits and listen to with me and hear my commentary on them, but we won't do that for the main show. Thanks for listening. A couple ways to keep in contact with us, like James did. Make sure you email us at starwarsreport@gmail.com. We read all of our emails, and almost all of them make it onto the show, unless you just have something particularly nasty to say to Mark. You can say all you want to me. I'll take it, but stay off Mark's back. He has enough trying to set up date night, and me going all late setting up all the audio stuff. Speaking of audio stuff that I've been setting up, thank you to our patrons who are making the improvement and the marginal improvement. We're moving in the right direction in terms of audio quality and the ability to create and broadcast a much better show via our patrons, who are supporting us financially at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. If you want to get yourself a Star Wars Report t-shirt, it's the only way to do it. Head over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport, and we also send out bonus audio and video and a bunch of stuff to thank you for supporting us, and it helps. All the money goes straight to improving the show, upgrading equipment, and hosting costs and all that good stuff. So if you want to support us, that's the way to do it. patreon.com/StarWarsReport, and a huge thank you to everyone who is supporting us. We're going to have some of you guys as guests on upcoming episodes of the Star Wars Report. A couple of programming notes coming up in July. Just a heads up, we're going to have some pre-recorded episodes. I'm heading off to Maxwell Air Force Base for field training on my journey to become an officer in these United States Air Force. So we're going to have a good time pre-recording some episodes, and you guys will have to hang out. We'll be back live afterwards. Speaking of live, thank you to everybody who's joined us at mixer.com/the-Riley-guy, or the easy thing is just go to starwarsreport.com/live. We're live pretty much each and every Friday evening. Again, Facebook/StarWarsReport, Twitter/StarWarsReport. If you enjoy this podcast, and hey, if you don't have the shekels to support us financially, the best way you can do support us and spread the word about the show is going to starwarsreport.com/iTunes. And that'll take you directly to our iTunes page where you can rate, review, and subscribe. Even if you listen to other podcatchers, that really helps out. So that does it. That puts the wraps on this episode. We'll be back next week, and thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, many Bothans died. died to bring you this here podcast. That's right. So long, folks. Habita, habita, habita.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Oh, good, but don't worry, guys. There's the post show, Anthony. Never doubt. I've got some Kevin Kiner music to play. And folks in the chat, that's awesome. Wait, that's a good question. Anthony just posted in the chat. Does that make you think that Luke is actually the chosen one then? That sounds like an article Joseph Tavano should write and then go viral everywhere. Actually, no, wait. Someone needs to do this. Someone needs to do like an in-depth, step-by-step process and include the whole the Revenge of the Sith conversation as evidence that it is not Anakin, but Luke Skywalker who's the chosen one. Oh, man, that's a brilliant idea, Anthony. I like it. All right, let's take a listen to Kevin Kiner. I love Kevin Kiner, and you know what? I love Kevin Kiner even more now that he's doing Star Wars Rebels, and he's kind of being unapologetically Williams-esque. And he released the entire series, as I said, and it's amazing. It is incredible, and I want more of it in my life. And why can't Kevin Kiner put this stuff on Spotify already? Please do it. Why can't they release an actual iTunes album of it? Please do it. That's all I have to say about that. All right, so one of my favorite things... Oh, Yoda's Guidance. I love this track. All right, let's take a listen. And it's just another example of how they're unapologetically going there and really heavily using John Williams' music. It's almost like it's the opposite. It's like, oh, wait, it's almost too much Williams. Never. There can never be too much Williams. What was another? Oh, I'll wrap up the show on this one. Let's all take a gander at the glory that is the Glory of the Empire track, which is the... the high school marching band version of the Imperial March that was used in the Empire Day episode. This is so good. Take a listen. finale. So good. So good. Kevin Kiner's the man. I need to get him on the show. That would be amazing. Definitely. One more thing about the post show. You know what it reminded me? It's particularly the rousing finish there where they kind of did the dan, da da dan, da da dan, where they have the full-on rise. It reminded me of the Ben-Hur soundtrack, which is funny because there is, again, this goes back to the first time I saw it. I remember, because we watched a lot of classic films growing up, Ben-Hur was a thing that we had watched as a family long before Phantom Menace. And when the pod race sequence, not even the pod race sequence, but like all of the betting and gambling and interaction leading up to the pod race, that's all straight out of Ben-Hur. It parallels very nicely not only visually from the desert landscape and the bargaining and the betting, but down to the fact that they're twin pod racing engines instead of like two twin horses pulling a chariot. And it reminded me, I just Googled fanfare for Ben-Hur. Let's see if I remember this right. Nothing could go wrong here. There it is. I forgot how good this music was. The whole thing about Ben-Hur is there are a lot of parallels, and this kind of big budget, big Hollywood movie of the 50s/60s, whenever it came out, is just evidence of just where the inspiration for Star Wars came from. This kind of big orchestral score was normal back in the day, and it had just died during the 70s, and it's so great to hear where the Williams before Williams came from. I forgot this is the love theme. So fun fact, and another parallel with Ben-Hur, now that I'm on the Ben-Hur joint, is the fact that in The Phantom Menace, you have the bam, bam, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da See, now my voice is cracking. Take two, take two. Diddle 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 dun, diddle 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 dun. Had to drop down an octave there. Where they introduce each of the... see, now I'm blanking on all the Podracer names, and I only played the N64 Podracer game a million times. Like, it's like Rats Tyrell, Gazgano, and Sebulba, right? That part where they're announcing each of them, and you have this big fanfare, even with the flags, by the way, representing each racer. I'm going to click on this related video, and that's the fanfare procession of all the chariot racers getting into position, getting ready to begin the chariot race. And you're going to hear something eerily familiar from what John Williams did. So let's take a listen right here. They're forming up, looking at each other menacingly, and each of their assistants with the horse flags, with basically horses that are going to lead out riders, basically, that bear their standard, lead the chariot. So basically walk ahead of the chariot onto the racetrack with each flag representing the racer as they begin to march out. So there all the chariot racers march out with their standards ahead of them. We just need, like, Julius Caesar to flick a weird creature off of the dais where he's observing the race. So there it is, guys. That's some parallels between Ben-Hur. Who knows how we got off in this jaunt, but it was a fun little post-show. So thank you guys for tuning in live, for you guys who have joined us. I'm going to have to shut off the broadcast here and get ready to do some post-show production and audio editing and stuff. But remember, you're lucky. You have a mother and father, and you weren't just a virgin in the Force. And on that note, that ends this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast.